What do you think I'm dressed as this morning? What am I? Somebody just scream it out.
Janitor.
A janitor. There you go. I got a, I prefer some other terminology. Custodian. That seems like a step up. Chief sanitation officer. Sounds better. Director of indoor environmental conditions. I like that one a lot better. Vice president of custodial operations. Let's go with that one. What I'm dressed as, we all get it. We understand exactly what this is all about. This is the person who cleans up behind everybody, who serves everybody. And I want to, you just gave me the names that you think I'm dressed up as, but I want to show you the official title for what I'm dressed up as. And this has got to come straight from the Bible, all right? So let's take a look at the screen. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. The greatest among you must be a servant. So what I'm dressed up like this morning is the greatest. That's my title this morning. I am a great man. All right, not really. Turns out I'm dressed as a great man this morning. I mean, that God chose the title for people like me in this outfit as great man or great woman of God. Jesus sets an example for us. I want to read this one to you. Matthew 13, it says this. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. Let's go to the next scripture, fellas. Is it up there? I've washed your feet, and you ought to wash each other's feet. Just look at somebody real close by you and go, just imagine. Just look in their eyes and imagine washing their feet for just a minute. Listen, thank God for shoes this morning, all right? There's some nasty feet out there. We know there are. Some of y'all went and paid $60 yesterday so you could wear them sandals. All right? But all the men in the room got their feet covered up because there's some nasty stuff going on. Jesus is talking to a room full of men. There were no manicurists around. He is talking to a room full of fellas, and he says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, he made sure they understood what He was saying, I'm the Lord and I'm your teacher, and I have washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet. And I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So after washing his disciples' feet, it was an act of love. It was an act of humility. It was an act of servanthood. He tells us to follow his lead. He shows us what it means to serve people at the most humble level. That his life as he walked earth was to serve humankind, to wash nasty feet, to take care of people who were hurting and could never thank him, who could never do anything for him. Jesus, the Son of God, the Most High King, the Lord of Lords, the Bible calls him all of that, he never placed himself in a position above everybody else. He always chose to serve people. He led by serving. He loved by serving. He washed feet. He fed thousands of people. He walked to visit and heal the sick. He stopped, took time out of his schedule to heal sick people and to take care of people along the road. He spent time with those around him and cared for them while he was on earth. He lived a life of humility. He said, the one who is your servant is the greatest one of all. Last week we talked about not climbing up the ladder, but climbing down the ladder. And Jesus tells us that our job is to serve people with humility. Just humility. Back in the day when I was a little boy, we used to have foot washings at church. Now that some of you old people know about this one. I don't know if the church owned all these dish pans. I don't know where 100 dish pans came from. But they would divide it. They would say, all right, all the ladies are going to go to this room and all the men are going to go to this room. And then you would take your shoes off and somebody would kneel down and wash your feet. It was a symbolic act of servanthood. Nothing more humiliating or the thing that creates humility in us, nothing is greater at that than sitting down and washing somebody's feet. Now, you and I don't need our feet washed today. We got soap and water. We got everything we need to wash our feet. We're not walking around with sandals through deserts, all right? But in Jesus' day, one of the most important things they could do when you invited a guest over was to kneel down and wash their feet. They had a place that they could wash their feet, get the dirt off, just get cleaned up, feel refreshed, because they didn't have a shower. They couldn't say, I'm just going to run in and take a shower after they walked 6 hours to see you. They were going to have to sit in the same sweat they walked in with. And one way to refresh them was to just wash their feet. And Jesus said, I'm going to wash all of your feet. He really showed us. He gave us our calling. Our calling is servant. If you die with very little money, that's going to be okay, as long as you lived as a servant. But if we trust God that he will promote us along the way, if we do the things he tells us to do, he will bless us in that process too. Philippians chapter 2 says this, don't be selfish. I know, don't even think of the person you were just thinking about. All right? This is all just for us personally. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Can we stop there? There's an old saying that in the United States, we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. We try to impress. I need to look good. I need to have a nice car. I want to have the latest shoes. And the Apostle Paul here says, look, stop it. Don't try to impress people. I've learned something along the way. The harder you try to impress them, the less impressed they are. It's more important to just do it the way God says do it. So he says, don't try to impress them. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Can we stop there for just a minute? He said, think of others as better than yourselves. He's really saying, look, I need you. I want you to focus on other people. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He's showing us what it looks like to be a servant. He's showing us what it looks like for us to carry the load of humility and servanthood. To be a servant means to genuinely care about people. It's keeping our eyes and our hearts and our schedules open so that we can serve people along the way. Jesus was not stressed by time. If you don't get anything else, get this one this morning. Jesus was not stressed by time. He wasn't running around like we all do. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. I don't have time. If I had time, I would help. If I had time, if I didn't have to do 17 other things, I would slow down and I'd be there for you, buddy, if I had time. Jesus was not stressed by time. Jesus was not stressed by what other people thought about him. He was perfectly willing to walk along and do the things that came to him, right? There were people who started coming to him, and he would take time to minister to them. Jesus was not stressed by a list of tasks to be accomplished today. How many of you got, don't raise your hand, how many of you got reminder lists on your phone? You got reminder lists to remind you of your reminder list. You got alarms set to remind you of stuff on the reminder list. Because if I forget it, life is going to go off the rails and we'll never get it back on the rails again. We love reminder lists. We love to mark stuff off. When I start my reminder list at the start of every day, I usually put a bunch of easy stuff on there too. So when I get stuck, I can go, all right, let me do this one. This will take 1 minute. Got it. I got one thing done. But we kind of live that way. We think that we've got to be efficient to be effective. And Jesus was going around with no stress. No task was ever beneath Jesus. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he knelt down and washed a bunch of guys' feet. I mean, he was willing to do whatever it took to serve people. He took servanthood so seriously that he would anger the people around him just to serve somebody. He would spend time with people that other people looked down on and thought less of, and they would get angry at him. What are you doing serving those people? And then he would create a whole lesson and teach the people that were angry why they were wrong, because he just wanted to serve people. No person was ever unworthy of Jesus' time. Nobody was ever unworthy. Jesus was clocking in every day. He was doing the work every single day. His lifestyle was about serving people. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." To serve one another. Use your freedom. Why did God set you free? So you can serve somebody. So somebody in your life could find Christ in the way you live your life. How do we let go of all these to-do lists? And how do we position ourselves to act humbly and to be a servant? I want to give you four questions this morning. It's going to be a short message. I want to give you four questions. One is this. Is my heart struggling to love other people? If I really want to become a servant, I've got to find a place to start, right? I got to decide how I'm going to start serving. One of the questions is my heart struggling to love people? If I'm just struggling to feel compassion and kindness and empathy for other people, then I've got to decide what I want to do about that. And the first step is ask Jesus for a heart change. Ask him to give us the same heart that he had, that we would start to serve. Be open to working and stretching and changing your heart. He can change your heart. He can soften the edges. He can teach me to love people who seem unlovable. He can help me to show kindness and compassion to people along the way, but I got to ask him for help. It starts when we remember what God has done for us. It's a great story in the Bible of a man who was forgiven a giant debt. A giant debt. He was set free from this debt. And he immediately went out and found someone who owed him less and had that guy thrown in jail because he wasn't paying the debt. And when the person who forgave the first debt, the big debt, found out, he said, "Well, look, I'm holding it against you too then. If you're not going to pass this along." When we remember what we have been forgiven of, when we remember what God has done for us, serving becomes so much simpler. It keeps me humble when I know where I've come from and what I'm dealing with and what I'm struggling with and what I need God's help with today. Servanthood becomes so much easier when I realize who I am and who God is. What's God done for you lately? Where did God bring you from? Where would you be this morning without Christ? Where would your family be without Jesus today? Where would your finances, where would your health, where would you be without Christ this morning? When we recognize that, serving becomes so much easier. Because we realize it's just, at that point, it's just our job to just pass it along. Just pass it along. Just do something for someone else. Here's the second question if I really want to serve. Is my life too busy? Do I say things like, I just don't have time? Is that my go-to? Whew, busy. When somebody asks you, "How you doing?" And the first response is always, "Woo, man, life is out of control. My life is so busy." Don't look at anybody. This is about you and me this morning. I just don't have time for all that. Is my life too busy to fit servanthood in? Remember our calling. We just read it. Our calling is servanthood. Jesus said, "Look, I washed feet. I washed your feet. Now you go wash people's feet. I did it for you. Now you go do it for somebody else." Paul said, "Look, quit thinking about yourself so much and start thinking about others and find a way to serve other people. Is my life too busy? Take a look at my schedule. Is my schedule too busy? Am I about the Father's business? Am I doing the business that God wants me to do? Or am I doing the business I want to do? Am I prioritizing eternal things? Am I prioritizing things that are going to last forever? Or am I prioritizing things that are going to be gone when I'm gone?" What if we allow him the freedom to use our time? We've all heard the saying in recent years, "Time is the new money." You can get more money, but you can never get more time. Nobody gets more than 24 hours a day, no matter who you are, how rich you are, no matter where you come from, what your family accomplished. We all get 24 hours. And then we get to decide what we're going to do with those 24 hours. Am I allowing Him, God, the freedom to direct my minutes and my hours and my days and my months and my years? Am I allowing God to work? Sometimes we got to learn to say no to the good so we can say yes to the great. There are moments in our life when we have good stuff. It's good stuff. And we're saying yes to a lot of good stuff when God wants us to say yes to something great. It's okay to say no sometimes. It's even okay to say no to your family sometimes. Just be careful how you say it. It's okay to say, can't do that one. I got other things that are important. Ask Him to show you each day what needs to be done today. How can I set aside some time today to just serve somebody else? It's to set priorities. It's to set priorities. That's a common terminology for us, but here's what the Bible called it. Make a vision for your life. Setting priorities is very simple. What is the vision for my life? What do I want my life to look like down the road? Set aside things that are not in the vision. Set aside things that are not in the priority list. Make room for God to use you in the line at McDonald's. Make room for God to use us in the break room. Make room for God to use us at home. Make room for God to use us in conversations with friends. Make room for God to use us when we're mowing the yard. The other day, my family loves to go to thrift stores, all right? And I kind of like it because it's a lot cheaper than going to the mall, all right? Sometimes we're at home and we're like, well, we got a little while this afternoon, and somebody says, let's go thrifting. I mean, we might find a book or a pair of jeans, or there could be something. And so it's just become thing we like to do. So the other day, we were at a thrift store, and we had our stack of stuff. I don't even remember what it was. I know mine is always a stack of books. I always come out and, you know, I go, if I get these on Amazon, it's going to cost $6,000, but I got them here for $2.12, you know. And so I love to read, and so I always come out with some books. And so we're standing in line, and we're just waiting out the time, right? There's one cashier and several people in line, and so we're just waiting it out and sort of talking. The three of us are just talking. And this lady stepped up uncomfortably close, and she said to Jody something like, I see your son up there. Oh, he's handsome. He sounds like a sharp young man. And, of course, she had us. We're like, yes, ma'am, he is. And she's an elderly lady. And with every question, with every comment, she stepped a half a step closer and a half a step closer. And before long, Jody is nose to nose with this little lady. And I'm just trying to, you know, I just need a little bit of room to breathe, you know. And her husband is behind her, and you can tell by watching him, he knows exactly what's happening. He's smiling. He's okay with it. He's not worked up because she's carrying on a conversation. I know, because I'm a husband. I've seen this before. So she starts asking more questions. Well, and she starts talking to Luke. And she said, what do you enjoy doing? And what do you do? And question after question after question. And can I be honest with you? My spirit was bearing witness with her spirit. I knew she was setting us up. And then she said, right before we're about to leave, can I just bless you and pray for you right now? And she stepped up, and she's this tall, and my son is this tall. And it was a hilarious sight, but she grabbed his hands. She grabbed his hands with confidence. You know what I saw? This lady knows how to serve. She wasn't showing off. She wasn't drawing attention to herself. And she spoke a blessing over him and prayed for him. And I wanted to hug that little red-headed lady's neck. Here's the deal. If we want to serve, God will show us how to serve, but we have to prioritize it. If it's in the line at the thrift store, then that's the place. If it's in line at McDonald's and you pay for the meal behind you, the car behind you, there's a way to serve, but we got to wake up every day with the remembering what our title is, servant. I'm not special, I'm a servant. Here's number three, if I want to start serving, what can I do? What can I do? And that's always the question, right? What can I do? I just don't have any skills. And I want to tell you this, it never hinges on skill. Servanthood has nothing to do with skill, all right? It has to do with heart. You begin placing others first in your day-to-day. What can I do? You start deciding, let me figure out how I'm going to work this out so I can serve them, so I can pay for their lunch, or I can encourage them, or I can carry those bags, or I whatever. Think about the needs of others and how I can place them before my own needs. Do you see a struggling mom at the store? What would Jesus do? I don't want to be corny, but what would Jesus do? I have a feeling Jesus would say, hey, let's go help her with those groceries. Let's help her get to the car. Does the neighbor need help with his car? And you've got some skills? Now listen, I don't need to be helping the neighbor with his car. Here's what I do. Hey, buddy, you got a phone? If you don't have a phone, you can use mine, but that's it. That's all I got. I can't help you with cranking that car. Start with small things. Be aware of the needs of others. Don't be so self-centered. Is there someone who needs an encouraging word, a few bucks, help moving to the next apartment? Whew, we don't like that one, do we? I don't like that one either. What can I do? It's just asking questions. What can I do? Which leads me to number four, and we're going to stop with this. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to me? Listen to God and what he says. Listen to what he says. Ask him to speak to you. Follow God's prompting and leading when going about your day. I can tell you this, Satan's not going to tell you to pray for somebody. Satan's not going to tell you to encourage somebody. Satan's not going to tell you to go the extra mile for somebody. All those things come from God. Be sensitive to that subtle nudge of the Holy Spirit that we talk about around here. It's just that little nudge. You know, the one you get from somebody who's really close to you, and all they have to do is give you just a touch of an elbow, and you're like, I get it. We're connecting, we're communicating. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for us. If I feel like I should stop and serve, let me say this. If I feel like I should stop and serve, maybe I should stop and serve. If I feel like I should stop and serve, maybe I should stop and serve. Maybe I should take out a minute of my day. This doesn't necessarily mean I have to take on every opportunity that's presented to me. I can't help everybody in the world, but I need to help somebody. I need to do this the way Jesus did it. Pray and ask God and listen to what he says to you. Just that still small voice. What's he saying? Many years ago, 20-something years ago, we had just moved in our new house. It wasn't new. We just moved in our house. It's right almost behind the church right here. And my wife is the party person in our family, you know. They I saw something the other day that said every happy couple has one person that's boring and one person that's crazy, all right? And so we decided we know exactly who fits in both categories, all right? So she... Boring's not any better than crazy, if you're asking. All right, so here we go. She decided, let's have a Christmas party for the people in the neighborhood. So we invite people, you know, we barely know. We're like, come on, we're going to cook, we're going to eat. And we get everybody there, and none of us spoke the same language. And we just looked at each other, and we laughed, and we smiled, and we talked as best we could, and we made gestures, and we did all kinds of stuff. Years went by, and we would see them, and we would talk, or we would try to talk, and we became friends. And one day, their 23-year-old son died in a four-wheeler accident, and they didn't have a church. And they called, and I got to speak at the funeral, and we had his funeral right here with all of his friends. I still see the dad today. I just saw him the other day. And we still can't talk. But we get it. Servanthood is spoken in every language. Amen. When you speak servanthood, everybody in every language will get it immediately. When you speak servanthood, you connect with people that you would never connect with otherwise. When we decide we're just going to serve God completely with our whole hearts, we're just going to serve Him with everything in us. I want to close with this story. It's the story of Johnny and the Bag Boy. Johnny the Bag Boy. There's a lady named Barbara Glantz, and she is a business consultant. She's written extensively, and she does seminars for companies who want to encourage their workers and create environments for better productivity and all those things. And so she was speaking to a grocery store chain one day, and there were 3,000 workers from this grocery store chain. And her topic in her talk that day was put your personal signature on your job. Don't just do your job, put your personal signature on your job. Something like she told the story of one man who was an airline baggage attendant. And he decided that instead of just doing his job, when the luggage tags, the name tags, were ripped off of the baggage, he was going to find the address on there, and he was going to mail that name tag back to the person who owned it. There was another one who was a graphic artist, and every time they would send out some of their product to their customers, they would put in a little bit of candy in the bag with it. Just their little signature. And so Barbara, her signature was always to give her phone number to everybody at the seminar. 3,000 people got her phone number that day. And a little bit of time went by, and Barbara received a call from a grocery worker. And he identified himself as Johnny, a 19-year-old bag boy with Down syndrome. He said that after he heard Barbara's talk, he thought there was nothing he could do because I'm just a bag boy. But he kept thinking about it, and one day he had an idea. And he decided that every night he would find an inspiring thought for the day. Just a one-liner, inspiring thought for the day. He asked his dad if he would help him, and every night his dad would type in Johnny's thought for the day into the computer, 6 on a page, print out 50 pages, give them to Johnny, and Johnny would take the scissors and he would cut them up. He would have 300 of these little pieces of paper with an inspiring thought for the day, and on the back, he would sign his name, Johnny. And he kept them right by his bagging station at the grocery store. And every time he would bag somebody's groceries, when he finished, he'd just reach over and he would grab one and he would stick it in the bag. And they would go home. It's a beautiful story. But then watch what happens. Barbara Glantz gets a call from the store manager where Johnny works about a month after Johnny's call. And he said, the store manager said, told Barbara, you won't believe what happened today. He said, when I was making the rounds in the grocery store and I came to the area where the cashiers are, I found in Johnny's line, there were 3 times as many people in his line as there were any of the other lines. He said the line was so long that it was going down the frozen food aisle. And the store manager said, I panicked. And he said, get more cashiers out here. Hurry, hurry, get more cashiers out. And all the while, he's trying to get people to move to another line. Just come on, move. Here, we got a shorter line over here. And every time he would say to somebody in Johnny's line, there's a shorter line over here, they would give him the no, I'm not moving. It's okay, they would say. I want to be in Johnny's line, and I want to get his thought for the day. Now, listen. Pennies a day for Johnny to serve. What's my excuse? What's my excuse? Am I just focusing on me so much that I forget to serve people? Servanthood is where we find fulfillment. There's no amount of money spent on myself that will give me a lifetime of fulfillment. It runs out. That's why rich people are constantly on the news and on TV and on your Instagram, and their life has just crashed and burned because it's not enough. If I just feed my desires and what I want, serving doesn't have to be spectacular. As a matter of fact, it probably won't be spectacular. It'll probably be very humble, and people will not even know what's going on. So what can I do? What can you do today? We're going to serve this week. We're going to do all kinds of great stuff around Irving this week. But it's more than that. It's about a lifestyle. Today is commissioning day. Today is commissioning day. I want us to send out a few hundred servants today to just serve our community, serve our neighborhood, serve our families on a greater level, serve the people at work on a greater level. In a minute, we're going to sing, and then we're going to pray together. I want to read you one last scripture, Isaiah 6 and 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." What if that became our rallying cry with God? Lord, send me. Here I am. Send me. I'll do it. But it's dirty. I'll do it. But it's going to take a long time. I'll do it. It's going to cost some money. I'll do it. What if we just said, "Lord, here I am. I might not have a lot of money, but here I am. Send me. I just want to do what you're calling me to do. I want to serve you." I want you to stand with me if you would. Now let's take just a minute. Let's take just a minute. Let's sing this together as our prayer. Can we do that right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it together.
Your kingdom is simple, as simple as love. You welcome the children. You stop for the one. We want to see people the way Jesus does. Your kingdom is simple. Lord, teach it to us. Your kingdom is humble as death. His king is a savior. He gave his last breath. So may we die daily, our pride laid to rest. His kingdom is humble, and the broken are blessed.
Hallelujah, hallowed be your name. May we live. works, it flows in reverse. What you call a treasure, this world calls a curse.
The small become great and the last become first. Your kingdom is backwards, Lord, teach us to serve. As it is with your kingdom, let it be with your treasure.
Would say, here I am, Lord, send me, send me, send me. See, every one of us is dressed. Oh, I'm a fake custodian this morning. I didn't have to clean up any bubble gum or anything behind you. But we're all dressed. No matter where we find ourselves in life, we're all dressed like the greatest, like the servant of all. So we get to choose. How are we going to do this? How are we going to live life? And it's what we're going to do right now is pray this simple prayer. Lord, and don't pray it if you don't mean it. But if you're ready to say, here I am, Lord, send me. That's what this is about. It's going to be a simple prayer, but I believe it can be life-changing for us this morning. Here we go. Father, thank you so much for all your blessings on us. God, you've been so good to us. You've answered our prayers. You've helped us. You've blessed us. You've saved us from our sins, God. And we thank you and we give you credit. We give you glory for all of that. And Lord, we know there are so many people in our lives that you have placed us close to. And you will continue to do that we can serve in some way. Whether it's our neighbor, a family member, a friend, somebody we've never met before, somebody that we may never meet again. But God, you've placed those people and will continue to place those people. And you have one question for us. Who is going to go? Who is going to do the work? And Lord, this morning, we want to respond to you at the beginning of this Servolution week. Lord, we don't want it just to be a week. We want it to be a lifestyle. And we respond to you this morning. Here we are, send us. Here we are, God. We have no more than what you've given us. And we just give it to you today. And we pray that your name would be uplifted and people's lives would be touched. People's lives will be changed, and we thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 So before you leave, I want to ask this simple question. Who is it that you're going to serve this week? Many of you have already signed up, and you're going to be serving some people, whether it's police officers or firemen or nurses or teachers or a million different ways. But who in your life needs you to say, they would never ask you, but they need you to say, here I am, Lord, send me. God bless us as we go. Thank you for what you're going to do this week, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody.